Today's podcast is sponsored by the Aero Cart by Works. Works has reinvented lifting and hauling with the new Works Aero Cart. With the Aero Cart 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works, heavy loads are easy to lift and haul. It's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. Whatever I need to be moving around, believe me, I need all the help that I can get. And that's why the Aero Cart by Works is perfect for somebody like me, because with patented turbo lift technology, it makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17 pounds. And that's probably pretty close to my capacity for lifting in the first place. With two oversized wheels, even awkward loads will stay balanced, so you never have to strain your back. That could knock me out of podcasting for quite some time, and not what I would want to do. I've seen people on works.com lifting up heavy bags of topsoil, gravel, and even a refrigerator without any help. You can move it all, lift it all, and haul it all, just like you're a know-it-all with the Works Aero Cart. So go over to aerocart.com and you'll get 10% off at checkout and free shipping when you're at aerocart.com and enter the promo code RHAP. That's aerocart.com, AEROCART.com, and receive free shipping plus 10% off at checkout. Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm Rob Cesternino, and we are here to talk about all of the internet stories for the week of May 10th that are news AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be news AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some news AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. It's time for some news AF, and we are ready to go talking about a great batch of stories sent in to us from you guys using our tip line and much more. Tips at newsaf.news. And here's our news AF team. First off, let's bring in, he is the son of a former defensive end at BYU, the great Tyson Apostle.
Woo-woo. Yep, that's me, dude. I don't know if Danny's father was also a defensive end, but mine was.
Forklift driver.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then here he is. He's always grasping the nettle, the great eye in the sky, Danny Bryson.
Woo! Boosh.
Thank
Boosh.
You.
Boosh, is that your hashtag?
Yeah. What's Boosh? Like your call sign? That's you?
Is that your catchphrase?
It's from the show Frisky Dingo, which I probably you've never seen.
Frisky Dingo?
Yes, it's a very strange show, but in it, the main character says, Boosh.
Where can I binge Frisky Dingo?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I mean, I watched, there's only two seasons of it, but if you watch it, you'll be like, it's a grown-up cartoon, so you'll appreciate it, I think.
Okay.
Or think I'm an idiot.
Jeff Probst knows about it in the chat. Of course, we're here live on blab.im, as we are each Tuesday when News AF is Tuesday AF. We're live here on blab.im every Tuesday, 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific or so. And here we are live once again to talk about all of these great stories. Tyson, how's your week been?
My week has been great. I went to Colorado to a mountain bike race. It was a relay, 12 hours long, and I did it with two other guys.
Wow.
But we had poor weather, and I ended up racing in the mud, and it was miserable, and I said the F word a bunch of times, but not as many times as the other people around me.
Yeah. Now, I heard that you never used to curse until you started hanging out with Danny.
Never is probably not true, but less.
Yes.
I cursed far less.
Yeah, because Danny hardly ever curses on this show.
Hardly ever.
Yeah, and even in real life, he doesn't curse as much as he used to, but like I would say 90% of the stuff that came out of his mouth when I first met him was swear words.
My wife sat me down and said, you swear too much. We have kids. You can't.
Yeah.
You need to tone it down. And so I toned it down. Plus, Tyson and I feed off of each other. Like, he starts to swear, I start to swear, and by the end of the conversation, we're not even using other words.
We're just screaming
only
obscenities.
Curse words.
Yeah. I do find it ironic that you're not supposed to curse in front of your kids, but when I'm around my kids is when I want to curse the most.
Yeah,
it's so conflicting.
Yeah, I seldom have the need to curse when I'm not with my kids, but that's when I can curse whenever I want.
I curse around my one-year-old.
Weird.
Yeah, you can curse around them when they're young because they don't remember.
Yeah. when I'm talking to her and nobody else is around, I'm using curse words. So she doesn't know.
I haven't had an issue with my son repeating any curse words, but we did have an incident a couple of weeks ago where I used the word lady boner, and then my son was repeating that over and over again.
I like that. I think that's a good word for a kid to use, actually.
Just last night, my my kids were asking me what signs meant, like this and this. And they my little boy did this, and I go, you don't want to do that in some countries because this is the, you know, like
that's,
the middle
that's
finger.
That's two fingers up for the podcast listeners.
And my six-year-old goes, yeah, Dad, and you also, this finger by itself is really bad.
Yeah.
Right. I laughed at the innocence.
He taught you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that finger is a good transition to the first story that I want to talk about today here on News AF. It's our most requested story of the week. You guys wanted to hear us talk about this. So we always talk about a lot of fast food stories, but here is a story where fast food intersects with fashion as KFC, that's the acronym for Kentucky Fried Chicken, they have been marketing a new nail polish in Hong Kong of fried chicken flavored nail polish. Now, Danny or Tyson, do either of you ever wear nail polish?
I wear toenail polish.
Really? Why?
Because I like to get pedicures.
Okay. So what does that do, the nail polish on your toes?
It colors the color of my toenails to whatever color I choose.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea. You know, full disclosure.
Yeah, it's all true. It's
full disclosure. I will wear clear nail polish at times because I am a lifelong nail biter. And I find that's one of the only things that stops me from biting my nails is like, I don't want to eat nail polish because that's gross.
But how does it taste? The nail polish? What does it taste like?
I don't know what it tastes like, but I'm like, you shouldn't eat that. That's disgusting. But KFC has gone completely the opposite direction of let me put stuff on fingernails to make it taste good. So I eat my fingernails.
Why don't you just eat a bucket of chicken every day for breakfast and then you'll have the flavor of chicken on your fingers all day long? It's kind of the same thing. Plus, you get to eat a bucket of chicken.
Yeah. Why do you want your fingers and your fingernails to taste and smell like food? I mean, isn't that the point of eating food? Oh, I guess that's not the point of eating food, but I really don't understand who would want this.
Yeah. You guys, for those in the dark, KFC made a fingernail polish that tastes like their chicken.
Mm-hmm.
They have a spicy and an original flavor. Secret recipe, man. The secret recipe. The Colonel's secret recipe is now a nail polish, too.
See, spicy to me makes a little more sense because, again, I go back to, well, if I don't want to bite my nails, maybe I should put the spicy nail polish on. So then that's like a little bit of a kick, a reminder, hey, stop biting your nails. But something that would be something delicious, I don't really understand why I would want to be eating my fingers or licking my fingers. I mean, I feel like that, if anything, wouldn't you want to be like, you know, keeping your fingers out of your mouth to prevent germs from spreading, Tyson?
Yeah, I think so. But maybe people just like to smell it. But then you get those weird, like, sneak smell hand smellers, you know, where you're like, I just saw you smell your hand. Mm-hmm. Why are you smelling your hands?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a lot of looks if you're licking your fingers.
Your hands.
I mean, look at that. Yeah, that's what you're going to be doing on the subway in Hong Kong.
Right. And I feel like in the subway is probably the worst place to be licking your hands. Right, Danny?
Oh, totally. But you know what? This story, when I read it, I didn't really think about eating your fingernails. I just began to wonder, why is it that Japan, South Korea, Hong Kong, why do they get these far out there products from these fast foods, like the black buns, the strange meats?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They have advanced technologies.
Testing ground.
Yeah, but why is it the testing ground?
And technology.
Are they more open to flavor?
Hmm.
You name me an American scientist who can make nail polish that tastes like fried chicken.
Yeah.
Name me an American scientist right now.
I don't know. Degrassi or whatever his name is. Degrassi?
I don't actually know how to say his name. Tyson is working on this.
I don't know. He's the only scientist I could think of.
He's more like an astronomy.
But seriously, why is it they get everything first? We don't get all these exciting fast food items.
Well, we
What's
do eventually.
No, I doubt we'll ever see KFC finger licking good nail polish.
Okay.
I just don't
Well, we'll see. Now, in terms of if you were going to market some sort of a fast food delicacy into nail polish, is fried chicken the right one? Did they strike right? I mean, should it have been a burger or pizza or some other fast food, Tyson? Is fried chicken what you want your nails to smell and taste like?
I feel like you want them to be like more of a desserty style flavor, like maybe like a Wendy's Frosty or even a Coca-Cola flavored nail polish. Something like that makes sense because it's sugary and sweet. And it, when people smell it on you, they're like, oh, that smells delicious. Not like, oh, right. You just smell like you hid under the bleachers at the old high school eating an entire family-sized bucket of chicken.
I was just wondering, what is the most amount of wearable, edible things you could wear? You could wear edible underwear. Mm-hmm. You could wear an edible necklace. You could wear edible nail polish. Is there anything else? Like, could you? How well could you kit yourself?
Do you want an edible shirt and pants? Also,
are those things? Is that what's next here in the progressive?
Lita said a ring pop. You could do a ring pop.
Ring pop. Sure.
But also, here's a little history lesson for you. The mountain men of yesteryear used to eat the strands on their leather jackets, the fringe, when they were hungry.
Oh. What did they taste like?
Probably like leather.
Beef jerky?
No, I
they
think
only
more
taste
leathery.
Slightly better than dying.
They were an emergency
hunger.
Item, but they would go to, because back in the day, they used to tan the hides with animal brains.
Mm.
So there wasn't any chemicals or anything on them.
Danny, did Willy Wonka really start this market when he made the lickable wallpaper where the schnozberries taste like schnozberries?
Oh my God.
Man, a lickable wallpaper. Why hasn't someone come up with that in the real world? I mean, Wonka is not...
Rob, I have to break the news to you. Yeah, Wonka is fictional.
What?
That was not a documentary.
No, I got plenty of like nerds candy and was said Willy Wonka, yeah,
Wonka
on the box.
Yeah, that's true.
but what you watched was not a documentary.
It was not?
No, I'm sorry.
I was wondering why they didn't shut him down. You. It seemed like that there was a lot of Board of Health violations there and a lot of kids dying.
Yeah, when Gunther was dipping his hands into the chocolate, I mean, you'd have to throw away that whole river.
You would think so. You'd have to shut it down.
Yeah, hazmat would have to come in.
Doesn't it seem like a waste? No, I know you could get original or you could get spicy, but wouldn't you want to have like a whole different set of meals and courses on each finger? I mean, if you had the choice, maybe let me go two fingers chicken, but wouldn't you want like a mashed potatoes finger or a coleslaw finger?
Cheese.
Right.
Yeah, an entire meal on each hand. That is such a good idea.
You have 10 fingers and you have 10 options.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you're just licking for flavor, though, it's not like you're getting like the full meal spectrum. Even if you had it on your finger, that's not what your body would crave.
Mm. Yeah.
What if you were on like drugs? Wouldn't it be dangerous to have your finger tasting like something? Would there be a danger of like gnawing on your finger? You know, like you're chewing on the tip because it tasted like delicious.
Yeah.
KFC.
If you got hungry enough, would you eat your hand?
Yeah. If you got the munchies and you had this on
and you were on bath salts. Yeah. You definitely chomp your hand, bro.
Yeah. This is dangerous. Don't wear this around people doing bath salts.
Yeah. Because you might not even eat your own hand. Somebody else could eat your hand. If cannibals strike.
Oh, my God.
Who are they going
it's
for
a
first?
Dangerous mixture. Bath salts and this, man, that's a recipe for club hands.
I mean, what about dogs? I mean, do you want...
Yeah, yeah.
If you
Jesus,
encounter,
dude.
Right, a big animal, like, do you want your fingers smelling more like meat? I mean, to some big dogs, your fingers already look like chew toys.
We're looking at a class action in the future. We might be getting a link to a class action story, you know,
from our resident lawyer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let me forget. I have more of those for this week. So a lot of people have also tied into that. Well, KFC, it's finger licking good. So now you can actually lick your fingers. But doesn't this come at the expense of selling fried chicken? I mean, if the appeal of KFC is that you would lick your fingers after, if you sort of just like take the chicken out of the mix and you just have fingers that you can lick, won't they go out of business, Tyson?
Well, at the very least, their momentum would shift towards nail polish manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hmm.
So maybe the KFC in 100 years, that our children know is a nail polish manufacturer. Makeup.
How about gloves made out of chicken skin, fried chicken skin?
Okay, yeah. Where are we going with this?
Okay, so now you're wearing gloves made out of fried chicken skin, which is really the only good part of fried chicken. And now you can just sit there and literally just be eating, and you have the nail polish as a dessert.
Well, why are we stopping with nail polish? Why not lipstick? I mean, wouldn't you want lipstick that tastes like KFC also?
They make flavored chapstick, and
I can't believe that KFC didn't get into the vape business. They should do
they should.
Flavor.
Oh, my right? God.
Chicken-flavored vape? Dorothy yeah. Explorer getting ready.
When I was a child, I ate a whole lime-flavored chapstick from Avon.
Lime-flavored oh. chapstick? That sounds terrible.
I wouldn't eat a lime if it was real, let alone chapstick.
What about lime candy? Because that's what it tasted like, if I remember correctly.
Lime's always the worst flavor in a bag of candy.
But remember, Danny, how you're asking me why none of my insides are ever chapped?
We're asking
why,
that, Danny?
Why would I be asking Tyson?
That's
why?
What I that's what I said.
First of all, why how do Danny I know your insides that? Are so dry?
That's what I asked myself.
Hey, how does he know it's I'm dry inside or not dry inside?
Yeah, all right, well, exactly. That's the story for another day. Let's talk about another news story. This has to do with a man in Ontario who had a very specific license plate, which ended up causing him to get into some hot water. So the man in Ontario has a license plate, which you can see if you're watching the Blab Live. It's VI6SIX, which if you read between the lines is the Roman numeral for six, then the number six and the word six spelled out. And I don't know why, but somebody complained that this was offensive because it is 666, which is the mark of the beast in biblical terms. Now, Danny, I'm going to guess that you have more of a Bible study background than Tyson, since in the pre-show we talked about how Tyson convinced you to stop going to church. So how offended are you at the 666 license plate?
Well, okay, this is the thing. If it's the mark of the beast, you don't want to remove his license plate because he is identifying himself as the beast. He's doing us all a favor.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Right? Why have yeah. him remove it? Dude, he That's just true. Identified himself as the harbinger of end times.
Yeah.
So don't take that away.
Do we know what kind of car this license plate was on?
Is that important to the story?
I think that's sort of important.
It's I feel like it's probably like a big like Ford Econo van or a van.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like if it's on like
or a Pontiac Fiero.
Right. Like a 2001 Suzuki. I'm not as scared, but I kind of feel like that if it's a very impressive like, you know, Ferrari, I feel like, oh, maybe this guy could be the devil.
The devil wouldn't drive a Ferrari. He'd probably be, you know, he'd be low key.
Lambo man.
No.
The devil's I don't, flashy. No, he'd be big and flashy, subtle. Dude. He's selling. He's selling you on the riches. Here's the thing. 666 is just funny nowadays because people still get scared of it. But it's one of those things that this guy, first of all, this guy says that it's not actually representative of the Mark of the Beast. It represents Mario Lemieux's number and in combination with his dad or something like that. So it's a tribute to both of them.
Yeah. So, let me just give his reasoning. So he says, six is the last number of 76. That's when Montreal won their cup. And six being six Stanley Cups, my dad and I celebrated during his life with me. And also, Mario Lemieux wore number 66, so that's where, but I don't know. I feel like that seems like we're grasping at straws.
You could come up with sixes for everything.
Right.
Maybe if he got out of the car and his neck and face was covered in satanic tattoos, and then he told you that, you know, there's no reason to believe him. But who knows? Maybe six has just been a number in his life that has been very lucky to him. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm just going to put it all over. So that's possible.
And either way, like, isn't there some amount of religious freedom that countries tend to offer their citizens?
Yeah.
Like, even if this guy is a Satanist.
Who's the person that was so offended that they called in the complaint on this? They're just driving around and they see this license plate and it's like, you know what? I got to say something about this. This license plate.
Is that Amish country?
Probably the lady that called the airport 2,000 times.
But at least that's noisy. At least you're in your house. It's like airplane noise constantly. Somebody was just driving around and saw this guy. It was like, you know what? Got to shut this down.
Could be the neighbor lady who I grew up next to. She called and told on me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was your license plate?
I didn't have an offensive license plate. I just was driving like a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So she'd call my mom, and my mom would tell me that she called and told on me. And then she'd like know that I knew, so she'd try and chum it up with me. And I was just like, no, not working, lady. You're old. You're trying
you're
not to be old, but you're old.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a narc.
You're a narc.
So,
narc.
Yeah. I feel like this guy is the victim.
That's what the VI stands victim. For, victim.
Yeah.
He's victim 66. Now, classic. Should Mario Lemieux have the final call on this, Danny? Should they get a hold of him?
I think that, I'm guessing he's a hockey player.
Yes.
Right?
Whoa.
I think, yes, he should.
A lot of people consider him the second greatest hockey player of all time.
Wow.
The only other hockey player I know is Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky.
Who is considered the best hockey player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Can a Canadian chime in here? Is that correct? Mario Lemieux, second greatest of all time?
I think Allison is on top of it in the chat room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tyson, have we covered this? Would you ever explore getting a vanity plate?
Yeah, I was going to get one called... I was going to get mom jeans for Rachel's minivan.
Right. I knew in my mind there was some... I associated you in a vanity plate. That would be good. Jeans. So instead of mom jeans, would Rachel consider a 666 license plate? Mom 666?
I think she would, actually. would we want it to be mom 666 or 666 mom?
666 mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, say that, well, you know, my ideal height for my husband is 6'6", and then... Also, you know, we want to have six kids, and that's why we're going with the 666 mom.
Yeah, that's it.
Six things to do today? Sure.
Yeah. I always tend to have six errands to run.
Okay. So this was a story about another regrettable case of maybe an overreaction to something. There was a man that was taken off an American Airlines flight recently after people claimed that he looked like he was working on all sorts of numbers, and it appeared to be suspicious behavior, and he was suspected of writing Arabic code. So the man was removed from a flight, which turned out to be that he was doing math problems.
Needs an iPad.
Right. Danny, are you extra suspicious of anybody that's doing math problems by hand?
Yes. Why in your free time are you doing math, sir?
Was it Matt Damon?
Yes. Well, he was an Ivy League professor. He still is an Ivy League professor, and he's doing equations, prompting the woman next to him to say, this man must be a terrorist.
Maybe he was trying to solve one of those problems where if anyone can solve this, they win $1 million. Which yeah. I think they have a couple problems in the world that you win prize money if you solve them. And that would be the only reason to be doing math in your free
like
time.
Like on Wheel of Fortune?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Similar to that, but it's only for the mathematically minded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They've so come up with an equation that is potentially solvable, but nobody can figure it out.
So now it's a crime to do math in the open.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He came out and... Good thing you didn't have one of those abacuses or whatever it is. People would look at that suspiciously.
Well, I'm not even sure if you're allowed to have that. I think you have to check that if you have an abacus.
You got
to
check
that's
your
kind of a big bulk
an abacus. Well, is it wood or is it metal? I think if it's a wooden abacus, you're fine.
I think either way, I think that's probably something that they would advise you checking.
They
your
would
luggage.
Not know what that TSA would not know what that is, and they would feel threatened. They'd probably be like, "You got to put that. You got to check that, sir."
Yeah,
it's like I'm just doing math, bro.
Yeah,
slide this over here. I'm not sure how this works.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like that somebody, for me, I would have to see somebody with, like, some sort of, like, Wile E. Coyote-type bomb and dynamite to say something to anybody.
Like an alarm clock?
Yeah.
With dynamite strapped to it.
Like, I would never be a person, and maybe the, and maybe this is too bad the other way, but what I would have to see for me to go and alert the authorities of something, I would just be like, nah, it can't be.
Yeah.
We've got the greatest minds of our generation working at the TSA. There's just no way to get that passed.
I thought you were going to say us three as a collective has the greatest minds of our generation.
Yes. No. Yeah. I mean, I'm with Rob. I probably would, oh, hey, like that's about the time I'd say something. Right.
Yeah. All but it's balanced out because we have people like Tyson's neighbor who's going to report on him for driving too fast. So it's probably like for every person who's like overly, I don't want to be that guy, then there are many, many people who are not worried about being that guy or gal.
Yeah.
I wonder, was he in first class or economy?
I don't believe he was in first class.
Really? An Ivy League economist wouldn't be in first class? I feel like he would definitely be in the pay grade.
Right.
Yeah, he would know it. Yeah, he was doing the math to see if it was actually worth it.
He was checking his points. The math was just him seeing if he had enough points to get an upgrade.
Yeah. Ultimately, the man was allowed back on the plane after a two-hour delay. And you know what? I got to say that if you're one of the other passengers on that plane, you're probably a little bit like some part of you is like, all right, thanks, lady. Good looking out for the rest of us. But when the guy is not a terrorist, I think it's like, thanks for really screwing up my plans here.
And why two hours? How long does it take to go through his stuff?
Well, they probably had to make sure that he was actually solving an equation.
Yeah, they needed
all
2 hours to get another mathematician in to sort of verify. Check the work. Yeah, like, okay.
They had to make an announcement. Are there any mathematicians on this plane?
Yeah.
And nobody. I teach high school math, sir. Sit back down.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about another story from this week. And, you know, we have a lot of cheese news for some reason on News AF. And this is a bit of a sad story, but a happy ending. A warehouse worker in the UK.
Danny loves happy endings.
Was trapped under tons of cheese for 8 hours. A terrible cheese accident occurred. Luckily,
he eat his way out.
Yeah.
I think it depends on what kind of cheese before you label it terrible.
A shelf in a warehouse full of cheddar and Leicester. It tipped over, causing the shelves to fall like dominoes and bury the man.
Was he buried with crackers as well?
I don't know. Okay. I don't believe so. It turned out they had to use a search and rescue team and dogs to find the man in the warehouse who appeared to be uninjured.
All right. So they called in the old big St. Bernard with that barrel underneath his chin with some wine.
I'm figuring it was probably like a drug-sniffing dog, and he could smell the weed on the guy. Because if you're working at a cheese factory, and that's like your preferred job, you got to be smoking a lot of weed, dude. Get those munchies, chomp that cheese.
So that's interesting to me, Tyson, that you feel like that just because somebody works at a cheese factory, they're probably smoking a lot of pot?
Weird dots to connect.
Munchies, Cheetos, flavored cheese, real cheese. God, I would get kicked off that flight for doing this equation right here, dude.
Yeah. Although I don't really associate real cheese to smoke marijuana. Cheese flavored products, I'm with you, but I feel like that's more of a leap. I feel like I've never heard anybody say, I have the munchies, I need to go get real cheese. I associate that more with wine.
I notice when I sometimes get the munchies even without any weed, I go for cheese. I like a good cheese curd, cheddar cheese curd, with either chips or crackers.
But I would say that you saying that you feel like your simulated munchies experience probably is not the same as the real experience.
No, I think it would be similar. I think hunger is hunger. Do you not?
No matter what instigates it.
I think it's different, Tyson. I think it's different.
Oh, man. We need a pot smoker here to weigh in on it. Danny, can you tell us?
Of any pot smokers who might be able to give us input? No.
Yeah. Yes. Is having the munchies the same as being really hungry? I vote no. I vote it's not the same experience.
Mm. Well, not as being really, really hungry, but as being hungry for snack foods.
I see what Tyson's saying.
You ate dinner like 2 hours ago, and you're still up, and you're watching Netflix, and you're like, I need something to munch on while I'm finishing up the last 8 episodes of this show.
Mm.
So you run to the grocery store, you go grab a bunch of stuff, and then you come back to the house. I think that's almost identical.
Mm. I feel like the difference is that you're really hungry and you're saying like, oh, what food would be delicious? Whereas I kind of feel like that the other version is a little bit more, I would eat almost anything, and something that I might not even eat normally, I would eat at this point, and it will still be very good.
I feel like grilled cheese sandwiches are a number one go-to munchie satiator.
Mm, but that involves cooking.
We need to find someone who smokes weed. Because otherwise, we're all just speculating.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's somebody in the chat room who has a friend, tell us what your friend would think of this conversation.
All right. So, in terms of the man who is buried under cheese, does this sound like that maybe this is some sort of a wish fulfillment, Danny?
As I said before, I mean, cheese on its own, it's a complement to so many things. But on its own, there's only so much you can eat. So, really, it would have been a pleasant accident if there was a pallet of crackers and a pallet of cheese that had fallen simultaneously upon him. And then he could have just snacked his way until they rescued him.
Yeah,
That would have been nice. Otherwise, I picture gigantic, you know, cinder block size cheese blocks falling and burying him, which would not be pleasant.
Yeah, to me, well, I don't understand that. How was he trapped but uninjured, and they needed dogs to find him? I mean, if you are uninjured, I mean, couldn't they say, Gary, where are you? Like, did he want to stay trapped with the cheese, Tyson?
Cheese is pretty dense. Maybe they couldn't hear him through it. Where did this accident occur? Because if it was in Canada, it sounds like an $85 trillion accident. But if it was in the U.S.,
it was in the U.K. I don't know what the economy of cheese is in the U.K.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I think, or maybe... I mean, because you know how if you're caught in an avalanche, a lot of times you're kind of compressed a bit so that you really only just have enough to get some breaths, but you can't really scream or yell. I imagine that's what being in an avalanche. Basically, I'm just putting my mind in someone else's mind frame for all of these stories.
Yeah.
Like a pot smoker's mind. Now I'm going to an avalanche victim's mind, but... Yeah, and what dog is trained, like, okay, so here's our dog that, in case there's a cheese accident, can locate a man in a pile of cheese. Don't accidentally grab the wrong dog that can only find someone buried in a pile of rubble.
Who has cheese in his pockets.
Rubble, right.
Or the dog that finds cheese in a pile of man.
Right.
Like, those are almost identical dogs, but they're very, very different. They're exactly opposite.
They're probably labeled on their collars.
Yeah, if you want to give your dog, like, a pill or medicine, they say, like, put it in a piece of cheese, because the dog will eat anything if it's in cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to, you know, if
good
you
thing
need to
he didn't
dog-
eat that guy, because the guy was wrapped basically in cheese. A dangerous situation. Good thing he wasn't wearing the nail polish. That would have been a double whammy.
Oh my God,
dude. The dog would have found him quicker, though.
Yeah.
Probably. Life-saving nail polish.
Maybe people skiing in avalanche-prone areas should wear KFC nail polish to get rescued faster.
Okay, well,
I think that's a good idea.
Let's talk about another food-adjacent story. And Danny, you're our probably resident China expert on the panel.
Yes.
China has banned people on live streams from seductively eating bananas. I didn't know that was a big thing, but apparently it is, to the degree to which China has now had to shut it down. No more erotic banana eating on live streams. Now, we are not in China. We are in the United States of America. And if we so chose, all of us could erotically eat bananas at any point during this broadcast.
Correct.
It's a very short step from seductive banana eating to publishing or broadcasting, you know, anti-party propaganda. So maybe they've found a correlation, like people who eat these bananas also hate the government.
Mm. So you feel so like they're luring people in with, hey, I'm going to eat this banana erotically on video. And then at the time they're saying like, the government is bad. Government is bad. You think that there's sort of like it's a little bit of a bait and switch?
Yeah, maybe they found that people who enjoy erotic banana eating also love freedom.
Hmm.
Freedom of press, you know, the freedom to do whatever they want.
They're freedom fighters.
They're freedom fighters, and they just happen to also love erotic banana eating.
Yeah. Now, are you speculating, or is that actually something that's going on?
I am almost always speculating.
Yeah. This is what I thought Danny was going to say. I thought he was going to say it's a very fine line between erotic banana eating and regular banana eating.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because like sometimes you'll see just like a dude on the street eating a banana and you're like,
yeah,
why am I aroused right now? And why am I watching? And why did I just get rear-ended by the car behind me?
Yeah. How many innocent people were, you know, swept up in this massive, seductive banana eating dragnet?
No, I just love bananas. It's the only thing I'm not allergic to.
Yeah. Or I was just vlogging and eating a banana. Dude, what?
Yeah. Right. So should people be, can they eat a banana with a knife and fork on a live stream?
Well, erotic is a broad term.
Mm.
Yeah. You could eat sliced banana just as erotically or nearly as erotically.
Yeah. I think it depends more on the person's gag reflex.
What if you break your banana in half before eating it?
Yeah. Well, I think that some of the viewers might be more comfortable with that.
But some might even think it's more erotic.
Mm. What about hot dogs? What about corn dogs? I mean, what all cylindric food is off limits?
I think a hot dog is okay if it has a bun.
And if you swallow it whole.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably okay. Yeah, that's definitely a question that people are wondering about. How do you decide what's provocative when eating a banana? But isn't it a case of, you know, how can you tell when something is pornographic? And the answer is, you know, you know it when you see it. There's really rarely any sort of gray area.
Yeah.
I'm looking around my room right now and I see a lot of pornographic stuff, but it all, you know, to the common
comes
man.
Down to the mindset.
To come down to mindset.
Yeah.
What lucky Chinese government official gets to be online all day long?
Right.
Deciding whether or not banana is eaten erotically.
They sub that out to someone in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Although,
that person's lucky.
I would speculate also, there aren't many unerotic live stream banana eating videos that happen. Now, again, we're on a live streaming site. Maybe we should check in with our friends at Blab and see what their policy is. How many people are doing, here's my Blab, eating a banana.
I might actually start a channel if there isn't one already here on Blab.
Unerotic banana eating with Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every morning could at 10 or 11.
Mm. Yeah.
10 or 11.
Yeah.
And what would you do? You would just eat a banana and talk?
Yeah. And I'd eat it as unerotically as possible.
Yeah. Because I think that people would tune in to see eventually, oh, well, maybe today's going to be the day he'll eat the banana erotically. It's sort of like, you know, it's just a really big tease at that point. Like, oh, Tyson is just teasing us, eating a banana every day, and it's never erotic, but one day.
Or let's see if we can find even a smidgen of eroticism in the completely unerotic way in which he's eating that banana.
Yeah. I think that maybe we need some sort of a challenge, Tyson, to eat a banana on a live stream as unerotically as possible.
I think we have bananas right now.
All right.
I don't think it'd be hard.
All right. Hey. Unerotic, Danny. Unerotic.
Should I go get one?
Look. If you want to be unerotic, just chomp on it super hard.
I mean, why not? Let's go for it. Danny and I will have to give the play-by-play.
I need 1,000 prop bombs by the time I get back with the banana, or I'm not going to eat it unerotically.
All right, Tyson is at 70 props right now heading into this.
He needs 1,000? This would be a full-time thing.
Yeah. We may need
hours.
Right now, Tyson is trying to attempt to eat a banana as unerotically as possible. He's going to go track down a banana. Now, hopefully, Rachel hasn't used all of the bananas in with any sort of, yeah, some sort of unerotic sex dust shake. Also, an unerotic food. Fair or not fair?
I'm looking at the picture of that girl.
I lied. I don't have a banana, and we're not to 1,000 yet.
Ooh, all right. All right. So maybe
okay. That's dude, next all time. These people.
Next time. Okay. Next time. Next time, guys.
Okay. So Tyson, at some point, you've
I'm
heard
sorry,
it here
guys.
First.
I really thought I had a banana. I promise next week I will eat a banana as unerotically as possible.
All right.
Guys, is that okay? I'm sorry in the chat room. That was a real... That was a real dick tease that I pulled right there.
Wow, banana tease.
Seriously,
banana
literally.
That was a real banana tease. So next time, I solemnly swear I will have a banana here. We just got back from a trip. All the bananas in the house are gone.
All right, and it's not something that you're saying that you'll do live in Reno at Run It Up, right?
Is that what we want to do
show?
It? Is that better?
I don't know.
Here?
I think that we're starting to get now. We're doing a live show of Tyson unerotically eating bananas. I feel like that... Probably
so, Tyson.
That would be better.
I don't know. I feel like it would be worse.
Let me get this straight. You went away for a weekend. You had bananas before you left, and you went away.
I think
we
purposely finished the bananas before we left. So when we came back, they hadn't turned on us.
Because that'd be a whole new level of erotic banana eating, breaking into people's homes to eat their bananas erotically.
I almost ran next door and knocked on the door to see if they had a banana, and then I was like, I don't have time.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I started looking for hot dogs. I was like, I got to find a substitute for a banana now because these viewers are going to be really disappointed. Mm. Look at everybody wants to negative prop me and down prop me. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. Well, Tyson, if you do pass the challenge, this could be like the new ice bucket challenge, the unerotic banana eating challenge. If you can pass that test with flying colors, then your next mission will be to unerotically eat two bananas at the same time.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Let me see if I have a cucumber. I'll be right back.
No. It's fine. It's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we're positive. But we don't need to. Let's save it. We'll save it. Okay.
That'll give you guys something to live for.
That being said, that the people are saying, okay, well, if you just take the bananas away, then people will erotically eat other fruits and vegetables. And cucumbers, carrots, yams, the works.
The bananas in China are delicious, by the way.
Hmm.
And I just have a memory. You know, every banana we ever bought in Shanghai was actually really good. All of the produce and vegetables were good. So maybe there's something to that.
What was it so much about the Chinese bananas that you enjoyed so much?
They just had a lot of flavor. I just remember specifically the bananas. Now we've been talking about it for so long. I just remember them actually tasting noticeably better than the bananas I get here.
Okay. All right. There you have it.
Just a little side note.
Chinese banana tastes better than a non-Chinese banana.
Wow.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
I don't even know if that's racist or not.
I don't believe it is. Okay. All right. So speaking of eroticism... here's a story about something else going on in another part of the world, which is equally confusing. So over in Brazil, there is a new theme park set to open in 2018 called Erotica Land. The park will be adult only, cost $100, and include attractions such as a cinema with vibrating seats, ride cars shaped like genitalia, and pools with go-go dancers, male and female, and an aphrodisiac store. Tyson.
Wow. I wonder if this is where all the Chinese bananas will go to get their fix.
Right. Ideally, you know, any place that you could be outdoors naked right now, I think that if wherever the Zika virus is, I think that's where you want to set this up, right?
Yeah.
Well, now they can have Carnival all year round, because isn't that what that's like, an erotic holiday? But now look at this, you can go here and basically have a similar experience every day of the year.
Right now, while the park strongly promotes safe sex, no sex is allowed within the park. So what is the point of Erotica Land, and who is this designed for, Danny?
Will Will its phrase be Erotica Land, the stickiest place in Brazil?
No, there's
that
no,
be on the brochure.
That it's really that the rule is
just because it's sweaty, it's super humid, it's sweaty, and I just think it'll be sticky.
Now it maybe might be the least sticky because I think everywhere else in Brazil you can just have sex wherever you want.
This is the one place,
one
you
of
can?
The only locales.
Tyson, you're not catchy. That's why it will be the stickiest.
Is it sort of like a wink wink rule of hey, no sex is allowed here, but they'll sort of just like look the other way?
Yeah.
Literally.
And then they'll just be like,
I like that their cinema is 7D.
7D.
That's blowing your, that will blow your brain.
Yeah. Does that refer to the picture projected or the actresses in the film?
7D,
it's
Rob.
The seven dimensions.
You'll have to go there and watch a movie to know what that means.
Yeah.
Do we have a Brazilian correspondent?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who in their right mind wants to go to Erotica Land. I just don't get it. I feel like if you were looking for some sort of, you know, real erotic experience and weren't interested in watching live streams of banana eating, I feel like that there's probably more lascivious places that you would go to that weren't a theme park. And I feel like if you wanted to go to a theme park, you wouldn't go to Erotica Land. I feel like that this is some sort of terrible tweener of an idea that nobody will go to.
If you want to go to Erotica Land, go on the first day. That's the only day to
That's
go.
That's what they say.
Never, they ever say. Go again.
It's like going to a Walmart. If you catch it on the grand opening, it feels okay.
Yeah.
But if you get in there anytime after that, it's you have to shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go the first day if you're interested, then never return.
To me, I think that the only people that would go to Erotica Land, like I feel like that this is going to be like some destination for bachelorette parties. I feel like that's going to be the same sort of thing. Like
it'll be a dude fest.
I don't know if either of your wives had a bachelorette party, but I feel like that this is the kind of thing that the prospective bride comes home with. Oh, I got a box of phallus shaped pasta, which is really nothing actually erotic about that. Nobody is ever saying, oh, I'm so amorous right now, I'm going to boil up a bowl of phallus-shaped macaroni. It's
and
just
put
sort
it
of like,
me.
Yeah, like jokey sex. And that's what Erotica Land seems like it's going to be for me. It's not actually going to be sexy at all.
I think the same people who pay extra to go to the topless pool parties in Las Vegas are the same people that will make the trek to Brazil to enjoy this Erotica Land.
I feel like it's a little different.
This isn't the first one to be open, by the way.
Oh, there's other ones?
Okay, so it's a proven concept.
So it says other bizarre parks around the world include Bon Bon Land in Denmark, which is an X-rated theme park where you can ride rides such as the Fart Dog Switchback, the Rubbish Dump, and the Skidmark Roller Coaster.
That doesn't sound sexy at all.
The Europeans are into different stuff, Rob. Keep an open mind here,
buddy.
Open
your mind, Rob.
I guess so.
The Fart Dog Switchback might be a crazy move you've never tried out, and it could be one of the most sensual moves in the world. So just
I doubt it.
Leave your mind open.
I don't know. Maybe one of our correspondents can go check out what's going on in Erotica Land. I do feel like the Vegas
maybe
thing
we can
is
get
different. I feel like you're going to Vegas to, like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Like, the Vegas is, like, marketed as, like, oh, you could hook up with any time in Vegas, which I don't feel like that this is the same idea. This is, like, an amusement park. Yeah.
I feel like we should get a Kickstarter going and then send a correspondent to Erotica Land.
Mm-hmm. I guess
so. And they can tell us. I mean, this isn't slated to open until 2018, which I'm thinking if the builders are getting too horny to really do their work properly, it's going to be at least to 2025.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides of building Erotica Land.
Yeah,
those contractors
like
dude,
everybody
I can't
gets way too horny.
Oh, I'm sweating. Oh man,
I gotta go hide.
Here.
I gotta shower in a. I got a cold shower. They just have cold showers set up everywhere for the guys building the place.
They have emergency cold spoons.
Yeah. All right. Then another update on the saga that will not go away. Bodie McBoatface, that we've talked about it the whole way through. A minister of the science in Britain has announced that a submarine will support the crew, and it will be named Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, I'll believe that when they actually put it on the side of the submarine.
So there will be another submarine that will accompany the boat, not named Bodie McBoatface, but the submarine will be named Bodie McBoatface. Tyson, does this make you happy, finally?
It kind of makes me happy, but I also feel like it's a feeble attempt to win back the masses, because I feel like this is pretty upsetting when Bodie McBoatface was the clear victor for the main boat, and when they went back on the deal, it's like you can only go back on the deal one time, and then people don't trust you. So even if they do name the submarine Bodie McBoatface, they know what they're doing. It's like the submarine's never going to be mentioned. It's mostly not going to be featured. Nobody's ever going to see it because it's underwater all the way. So it's like, yeah, you can paint whatever you want on the side. You could have 666 written on the side.
No!
And nobody would even complain.
Shut it down. Shut it down. Now, Danny, that a lot of people have been trying to cash in on the Bodie McBoatface controversy, including that at Erotica Land, one of the attractions is scheduled to be Bodie McMotorboat Face. That's one of the rides that's scheduled to open in 2019.
2025. Yeah, it's probably, I have a feeling that ride's not going to be open until 2030 because of how horny the guys building it are going to get.
I can already see that ride. It's just you get into this thing, it just goes back and forth in between two mouths.
Yeah. So more on that, more updates as we come along. And then this is a story that was also sent to us this week about a controversy involving some of the beloved characters from Sesame Street, where a new product, which is a home HIV test, has been sued for marketing their product using Bert and Ernie holding up papers. And Bert is saying, "See, Ernie, you've got nothing to worry about. Everything is positive."
Well, what? Everything's positive?
Yeah, everything positive. That is bad. If you're taking a STD test, I believe that's what you don't want, is to be positive.
You want everything to be negative.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. In golf and in
AIDS tests.
AIDS tests, you want to be negative.
You want to be negative, right. So understandably, on a number of levels, Bert and Ernie should be upset about this.
If they were real people, yes.
Well, unless they were hired to actually fulfill the job here.
Well, it sounds like Ernie has everything to be happy about
Well, a number of things here. One, I don't believe that it's ever been confirmed by the Children's Television Workshop that Bert and Ernie are anything but platonic friends. I think that is just been widely speculated about, but I don't think that. And we respect the privacy of Bert and Ernie until the time that they want to come out with that announcement. I don't think that we should be forcing them to announce anything that they're uncomfortable with announcing. Second of all, there's been absolutely no evidence that either Bert nor Ernie has any sort of HIV infection.
If they're going to be on an educational program, those guys probably, you know, they're safe.
Yeah, furthermore, there's been nothing but evidence that Bert and Ernie have been even if they were in some sort of romantic relationship, they appear to be strictly monogamous for going on, 30 years? It seems that highly offensive to me, maybe the most offensive part of this, to imply that either Bert or Ernie has come down with some strange infection.
I imagine both of them having just Ken doll fronts, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And on top of that, it's like, honestly, I feel like Bert probably has a secret, super promiscuous life behind the scenes that we're not seeing. And he masks that by being strict and a strict rule follower.
Yeah. Interesting.
And Ernie's the
That's
opposite.
Interesting.
Ernie's the opposite. He's carefree. And he's completely unassuming and unaware of Bert's promiscuous habits.
So, and you think for years Bert's saying like, Ernie, don't worry, everything's fine. Yeah. I'm being completely safe behind the scenes.
It was the toilet seat. I got it from a toilet seat.
And Ernie is like, well, I don't trust you. I need you to at least give me the peace of mind. Go out and get this test. And in true Sesame Street comedic fashion, that the test is the opposite of, and this is like a lesson to explain that negative on a test result is what
positive.
The desired result and positive.
Yeah, negative is a positive.
Yeah, right.
You should be a writer.
Shut it down in terms of Mately, the STD testing, who is claiming to be able to take STD testing out of the Stone Age. Yeah.
Maybe.
It's not just an HIV test. It's also for all sorts of STDs.
Every single kind.
Yeah. So basically, it'll tell you everything that's going on. All right. Danny, you had told us right before we came on the show that you had a scoop.
A scoop. I wouldn't necessarily call it a scoop, but I've got a story that we haven't mentioned yet, and it fits well with what we've talked about today. And that is China. You know, they like to target things. They like to shut things down. They're shutting down the erotic banana eating.
Yes.
But there's something else they're shutting down that we did not talk about. It turns out that China is trying to stop people from hiring strippers for funerals. So I guess this is a problem.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their liberties. So, it makes sense. If you're going to hire a stripper, you want them to eat bananas erotically. But now... It doesn't.
I think if you're live streaming them. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I guess they can do it in person, right?
So the police are busting groups of strippers who are stripping at funerals in North China's Hebei province. And I guess that this is a pretty big deal. And the reason people are hiring strippers is because they're trying to get the numbers up at their loved ones' funerals. And so to bring the people in, which is a sign of great respect for that individual who's passed on, they're bringing in strippers to get the crowds.
Hmm.
Wow.
And so the government's done with it.
Yeah. I mean, it seems so weird to me where it's like, okay, I guess that it's reported in the newspaper or something after somebody dies that, oh, so-and-so had 983 people at his funeral. I was like, wow, that guy must have been really beloved. Yeah. So many people at his funeral. But for the people in attendance, I mean, for the family members, I mean, isn't that sort of a weird scene going on there?
Well,
where
let me give you one of the scenes described in the article. And
right.
So just picture this. You've gone to your uncle's funeral. You know, you loved your uncle. You're very sad to see him move on.
Oh, I'm not missing it.
Okay, well, he's 86 year old. He's an 86-year-old man. He's passed on. And a woman in a short white skirt and halter top is dancing on stage. And then she pulls a mourner on stage with her and begins to undress him while periodically peeling off a piece of her own clothing. Because that's what happened in this. This is one of the scenes they've described in the article here.
Okay.
Now, wait, before we finish, they're still mourning the person because they have a digital ticker tape in Mandarin that reminds people simultaneously during the dance, reminds them how sad they are about the dearly departed. So it's a very strange scene, but let's not judge.
Here's what I would more envision. Your uncle, who you hate because he hated you, has died.
Yes.
You have... No inclination to go to the funeral at all. And all of a sudden, you get word that there will be expensive strippers there.
Yes.
You gather your group of friends.
They're $1,000 a show.
Okay.
So I think the more expensive the stripper, the better, probably, right?
I think that's how it works.
So then you show up because you want to show. And not only do you show up, you bring all of your friends. And they can all also enjoy the show as well. And you could even advertise at local strip clubs and stuff like that.
Tyson, your uncle was a pretty great guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
You hated him. He was a jerk to you.
Well, this is hypothetical because I have nothing but love for all my uncles.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, I think it's especially all horned up in the moment, you're definitely going to be like, yeah, he was pretty great. Actually, now when I think back on him and those strippers, he was okay.
Mm. I think all funerals, weddings, and other boring ceremonies
all
like those
strippers.
Could be improved with the help of strippers or something, like maybe a clown doing balloon animals. I mean, because they are the worst thing in the universe to go to.
Oh, that is an awesome
idea. A clown
idea.
Doing balloon animals or a funeral?
Yeah. Well, no. I'm saying let's get some entertainment. These people are way advanced.
Yeah,
they
a petting are zoo, petting some zoo. Face painters.
Yes.
Face Turn painters. It into a carnival.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's take these horrible things that nobody wants to go to, like funerals and weddings, and let's improve them with a petting zoo or face painting, like Tyson said, or whatever. These Chinese people are thinking ahead.
All right, well,
let's make a pact right now.
Yeah.
All three of us are around the same age.
Okay.
Whoever dies first, the other two will pool money together, and this verbal contract we're making with each other right now, the two surviving members of News AF will hire 40 strippers.
40 strippers at 10,000
No.
Yes.
No, let's not do strippers. Let's do something else.
Clowns.
Making balloon animals.
Or okay. Just clowns.
What was the other thing? Face painting?
I don't want a clown at my funeral.
That could be terrifying. You could give your kids a whole clown complex.
Rob, here's the thing. You're going to be dead. It's not going to matter.
Yeah, I guess
so. Why are you assuming that you're going to die first?
Well, either way, I'm scared of clowns. Whether I'm dead or...
If you're dead or alive, you're scared of clowns? Yeah.
Well, not if I'm dead. I feel like, but if I'm alive, I don't want to see the clowns. I really wouldn't want them at my funeral.
Maybe we have like a bunch of motorcycle guys doing backflips.
Mm.
Let's think of something. Let's workshop this.
Let's workshop this.
Okay.
My solution, if China is going to outlaw this, maybe we need to get the destination funeral business going. And maybe that could be one of the attractions at Erotica Land when it opens in 2047. I think that then you could have...
Why don't we buy Erotica Land in 2019 and, like you said, repurpose it for Chinese funerals?
I think that could be a way to go. And then, then we could also do something with, maybe they could be doing like some sort of like cremation there. You could, get turned into bait and then go from there.
Oh my gosh, I already know exactly how we're going to build that cremation chamber.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like here's the other thing we could do, guys.
It'll be a banana-shaped coffin right into an open mouth.
I feel like you could give
live stream it to people that can't be there.
You could give coupons. You know how like when you walk a Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica and people are like, hey, you want to go to a movie on this night? And they do all their testing stuff. If you did that like in downtown Beijing to get people to funerals and just be like, oh, free buffet, get it while you can. It's over here. And then you up the numbers without even, there's a buffet, but food is probably cheaper than strippers.
Yeah. Okay. And I
good
think
idea.
Let's name the funeral home Morning Wood.
I like it.
Good. Sounds that, like
that's an know, old Simpsons
like,
joke.
You know, so it's like a forest. Yeah, it sounds good. All right, let's bring in Adam. It looks like that he has some news from Australia on a very busy News AF today. Yes, Adam, how are you doing?
Adam. I'm really good. I've got a patriotic story for you guys.
Okay, I was worried that you were going to have a banana.
Patriotic to what country?
To your country, to America.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So Budweiser has a new name.
Mm-hmm.
And the new name of their beer is now America.
Not America?
No, they haven't taken tips from Mike Holloway. Though they're really just one letter off, to be quite honest with you. So they've named the beer of America in the lead up to the presidential election. And my favorite part was when the CEO said, we thought nothing was more iconic than Budweiser and nothing was more iconic than America, which makes completely zero sense.
So yes, are we buying America beer in America, or is that only in Australia?
No, this is in America. You're buying
so
America.
So I can go to the grocery store
America.
Right now and find a can of America beer.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't really get why Budweiser is doing this. I get it that they want to sort of brand as the American beer, but I feel like that seems like it's going to be very confusing to people who want a Budweiser and are now told, no, your Budweiser is called America.
Or you want, to those you know people why they're who doing always it? Thought,
yes.
They always thought Budweiser was an expensive German brand, and now they find out. It's like if Häagen-Dazs changed their name to California.
Yeah.
Then we all know that their ice cream's from California and not Germany, and who's going to buy it now?
Danny, what were you going to say?
Well, Budweiser is owned by a Belgian-Brazilian conglomerate. It's not even American. Mm. So maybe this is an attempt to be like, hey, you know, you found out that we're not American, but that doesn't mean your beer can't have the word America on it.
Now, I was really hoping you were going to do it in an accent, like a Belgian accent. Ha, 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 you are America. You think that we also America.
Now, is it possible that especially in the lead up to the election that they're just trying to get in on some free advertising? If Donald Trump is putting out all these Make America Great Again, if they're like, well, if we change the name of the beer to America, then
it'll be in the Google searches.
Made America great again. Have this America beer. It's
or
great.
You're admitting that your beer is not great. Make
it is
America great again. Make your beer great again. I mean,
what about
make
Budweiser America again?
Yeah.
You don't see Foster's beer becoming just called Australia. Like, I feel like
why
I don't
not?
Know. It's very
Foster's is Australian for beer.
Well,
funnily enough, Tyson, everyone thinks Australians drink Foster's, but we actually can't stand the stuff. It's very hard to get a Foster's in Australia. So that's a
So do you
there.
Think we should start importing Foster's to make it more popular in Australia?
Hey, it'll be the drink of choice at Morning Wood.
We'll have Foster's renamed Australia, and we'll have Budweiser renamed America. At Morning Wood.
Yeah, those are the only
and
drinks
that
we'll
way
serve.
We'll raise, exactly. And then that way we'll raise proceeds to go to the Brazilian exotic theme park.
Well, right. we'll charge $5 a beer, and we know that those two are probably two of the cheapest beers.
Yeah.
Yes, so the because they taste like piss.
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, good stuff, Adam. We no need no to worries. Make your calls great again. Still always great.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Right. I really appreciate it.
Unlike Foster's, according to you.
See,
all right, take care,
Adam. Adam.
All right.
Make Australia great.
Bye. Danny, do you like Foster's?
He loves it.
I don't drink beer.
You don't drink? Is that? Are you like Tyson, that you're just not a drinker? You don't drink beer?
He's Mormon.
It started off that I'm Mormon, and I'm self-conscious about how I'm perceived by other people, and I feel like if I drink alcohol, I'll do something incredibly stupid.
Oh, what if you locked yourself in a room by yourself?
With a bunch of bananas.
So my wife could open the door, and I'd be covered in my own poo and pee. And who knows what of these things I've all of a sudden made erotic. It would just be a mess.
Yeah, okay. All right, what's the hashtag today? I've got banana teas and fart dog switchback.
that's an impossible choice.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have to make.
Oh, my goodness.
Grasp the nettle. That's from the pre-show.
Yeah, I missed the grasp probably the nettle stuff.
I guess Morning Wood is in the conversation also.
I like, what was it, banana teas?
Banana teas.
But yeah. I feel like fat boy switchback.
Fart dog switchback.
Fart dog switchback is probably hasn't been used as much as banana teas.
Tyson, you concur?
Whether or not I think it's the best, it just sounds great. Fart dog switchback. They knew what they were doing.
By the way, our legal correspondent, Anessa, has some class action lawsuits of the week if you want to get in on that. let's see. There's one on Facebook that Facebook apparently allowed a Chinese company known as Global Egro to post ads in news feeds showing gorgeous, stylish clothing for too good to be prices, and the images were taken from well-known stores and of celebrities and fashion icons without their permission, and they put up the ad for a fraction of the cost of actually paying
those people. And when the clothes arrive, they barely look like what was advertised. They had $200 million in sales in 2014. So if you have been a victim of this, there is a class action lawsuit waiting to happen. That is
lots of victims.
Yeah.
Lots of, this was something that this kind of story popped up, I would say, every month in our local news.
Mm.
So-and-so ordered this dress for prom, saw it online, looked like this. So, you know, I don't know how they're going to get these Chinese companies to pay. I don't know if that's something you can actually do.
Yeah,
but good luck. How many dresses did you order, Rob, that didn't fit you when you got them?
Several, but they were all from models who were erotically eating bananas. So I kind of feel like I walked into that one. Should have known better.
Here's my question. Are all the corporations that have had class action lawsuits filed against them going to form their own class action lawsuit against the people who falsely claim to be part of these class action lawsuits?
We have to ask Vanessa that question. She also sends us one about Whole Foods is being sued for calibrating their scales to make things seem heavier so people have to pay more. Allegedly, scales in the produce department show a different weight than what's being shown at the cash register.
Oh,
Danny, are you buying this?
Ooh, that is legit.
Oh,
devious.
Actual factual.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know about the story. I'll have to look into it. But that is, you have grievance there.
That is dirty, dirty, dirty.
That's a dirty trick.
Okay.
It's like they're putting their finger on the scale.
Thumb on the scale trick.
Yeah.
Over at Whole Foods. Not cool.
Well, to be honest, at airports, when I put my luggage on, if I know it's a little heavy, I'll get my toe underneath the scale a little bit and lift it up.
Okay. So it's all working out.
Yeah. So it's an even Steven.
All right.
I think people are just like, no way produce costs as much at Whole Foods. They must be doing something with the scales.
Tyson,
somewhere cheaper.
Do you have a 5-star review of the week for News AF or on our iTunes page at newsaf.news?
It looks like there is. It looks like there's one from Rupert Bonaham.
Rupert Bonaham.
Is it Bonaham or Bonham or Bonham?
Well, he's your tribe mate, Tyson. You would know better.
Rupert Bonham. Yes, AF review, 5-star. I had a great review this week, but I ran out of gas.
Sounds more like Joe than Rupert.
Yeah. Well, it could be both.
Okay.
Maybe it was Joe posing as Rupert.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much to Rupert for a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate that. If you want to review or leave us a star rating on our iTunes page, we do greatly appreciate that. And we always read one a week on the podcast. If you want to get your review in, you can go to newsaf.news. Tyson, in just about 2 weeks, we will be in Reno. And Danny, you're officially going also?
Yeah, I'll be
all
there.
All right, so we're going to do a News AF on the road?
We'll do a News AF on the road. Danny, what day are you going to go out?
Whenever.
Because I'm flying out Tuesday, and I'll be there till Sunday. So,
well, what day are we going to do the podcast?
That's what we have to plan. We're going to plan it around you because I don't think you're going to go out for the full week, or are you?
No, but I can be there any day. You just pick the day you guys want to do it when you'll be the least busy or you'll have a morning available, and then I'll come out.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the schedule. Let's coordinate with Jason and then figure out where we're going to do the live News AF in person.
Correct. Okay.
Fantastic. Perfect. Yes.
One more thing. Please remind me on Twitter next Monday to buy bananas for the show on Tuesday morning.
Tyson, you're not at 1,000. You have no obligation.
I feel like I do.
Yes.
Oh, well, that pushed it.
These people who are giving me props,
there we go.
Please remind me Monday evening before.
We can get taken down off of Blab. We need to check the bylaws of Blab.
I'm eating it unerotically.
Okay. Well,
that's true.
Who's to say?
He's in the clear. But what about our Chinese viewers? They're not going to be able to watch.
It'll get shut down in China.
We'll see. Yes. I think I'm going to. I already have a plan in my mind of how unerotic I'm going to eat this thing.
Although, on the podcast version, I guess you could eat it as erotically as you want it.
Yeah, because it would not ever be shown.
Yeah, that's the theater of the mind.
All you'd hear is the sound of chewing banana. which yes. is one of the least sexy sounds.
I mean, you could be completely unerotic in the video, but people could imagine it however they want.
I'm going to chew it with only my tongue, not my teeth. Just like...
All right. Well, that's to come in a future episode of News AF. Again, great job, everybody. Very fun episode this week. You could read about what Danny is favoriting on Twitter. He is at Danny Bryson.
Yes.
And also, Tyson is always tweeting up a storm and on always. Snapchat at yep. Tyson Apostle. Tyson, the other day when you were saying that you were a passenger in the moving vehicle when you were snapping, were you telling the truth?
Are we still recording?
Yes.
yes. I was definitely a passenger in the car by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, following Rachel on Snapchat is good. You get like the other side of what Tyson is doing.
Yeah, you get actually more of me on Rachel's because I don't Snapchat as much as she does. Rob, your Snapchat was great this week, too.
Which one?
The one. So, Danny, are you on Snapchat now just to follow Rob? You should.
Okay. You guys maybe want to get on Snapchat. But, so, I tried to get on, okay. right? I had something funny to Snapchat. I'm like, this is going to be so great. I couldn't remember my password, and I couldn't recover it.
You can, too, recover it with your phone number.
No, it said the phone number did not exist with that
account.
Well,
open a new account.
So, look, I'm going to get on, and I will follow Rob because this is the second week you've talked up this.
So, this is what Rob did this week.
Yeah.
This week, he got in trouble by Nicole for posting a Mother's Day post of a picture she didn't approve of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was begging him to take it down, and he was like, but I still get credit for making the Mother's Day gesture.
Here's what happened. Just to the backstory on that was that it was on Mother's Day, and I posted a picture of my mom on Facebook because I felt a little peer pressure on this. I felt like, oh, everybody
from
posted
who?
That. And so because everybody posted a picture, I felt like my mom was going to go on Facebook and like, oh, I wish my kid would have put a picture of me up on Facebook. And so I felt like, okay, well, my mom is going to be upset if I don't do it. And so I posted a picture of my mom on Facebook. And then a lot of people are doing the move of not just post a picture of their mom, but you also got to post a picture. Oh, here's to my wife, who's the mother of my kids. So I was like, Mother's Day, how many presents do I have to give? And Facebook posts and uploads, so much work. I don't care if anybody says to me on Father's Day, I'm like, oh, here's to Rob. Yeah. What a great.
Well, and did you notice, here's the other thing. Moms themselves are posting pictures of their children thanking themselves for being the moms to those kids. It's crazy.
It's gone mad.
And so then my wife, this is one of her moves that she'll do. She'll say, I see you posted a picture of your mom on Facebook, but you didn't post anything about me. I said, do you want me to post about you? Do you need me to post? Do you want me to post about you? No, I don't want it. Fine. So then I go through, and now I got to find a picture of, I can't just post a picture of me and my wife or my wife by herself. So now I'm trying to find a picture of me and my wife and the kids. There's not a ton of options to choose. And I posted the picture and I put it up on my Instagram because my mom's not on Instagram. Only my wife is on Instagram out of those. So then people like it. Oh, happy Mother's Day, Nicole. And she posts like on the picture, you literally picked the worst picture of me. And then she's like, you have to take that down. I don't approve that picture. I don't like that picture you put up. And it was a fine picture. It was, not like I it was like paparazzi and she didn't have makeup on or something like that. And I sneak attacked her with the picture, had to take it down. So what is the moral of this story at the end of the day?
Don't try
on an island by yourself.
I had my arm twisted. Hey, you didn't post any pictures of me. And then I posted a picture of me and you picked why did you put up a bad picture of me? I did not approve it. Okay. Anyway, that's it. I will discuss this maybe more on a future conversation with my wife. But what are you going to do? I need to have like a list of like photo approved pictures
from
my wife
or
social media so I can post about how great she is.
Yeah, you always, that's the thing is you, but, with the woman, if you're posting a picture, you have to get it approved first. I think it's something we've all run into, where you post a picture of your family or, you know, so your significant others in the background or whatever, and all of a sudden you're in the doghouse because you purposely added a picture that was not approved by them.
You cannot win. You cannot win.
It's a lose-lose.
Lose-lose. Okay? The message for everybody who's thinking about getting married. All right. So. All right. That's it for us, News AF. Very fun show today. We'll be back next week on Tuesday, 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Tuesday. Have a great one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
See ya.